Blog Talk Radio.
Radio. Yo, what up? What's going on, everybody?
What's up, everybody?
Brother B and Big Red in the house. The menu.
In the house.
The menu. Another episode.
The menu.
What up? What's going on? How's everybody doing? Pardon me and Big Red if we sound a little congested, a little bit slow tonight, but, you know, the weather.
Blame Mother Nature.
Here. Yeah, the weather up here in New York for those that are in the tri-state area know that it's been crazy. Weather going from 60 degrees to 30 degrees, 70 degrees, back to 20 degrees. Like, it's not stable.
Yeah, like she needs to do something. She needs to bike it into something, because it's like this don't make no sense.
Yeah.
This don't make no sense at all.
It sure don't, but you know it is what it is. So hope everybody is doing well. Once again, it is the menu with Big Red and Brother B. And yeah, I was scrolling on Facebook, and you know what? That's right. I want to give a shout out to my homie, Lisa Aiken. Happy birthday. But at the same time, I want to say, yo, rest in peace, Biggie Smalls.
Right. Where Brooklyn at?
Yep. We're one of the greatest and the biggest that did it. And
put Brooklyn
it's
on the map.
How, it seemed like I'm not trying to say that no one else did anything else, but it seemed like after Biggie and Pac died, it's like what happened to the music. Like it seemed like people were trying to run for a crown that or try to grab a crown that they really didn't deserve. And it just brought
not
up like a whole bunch of cornballs. I mean, you don't get me wrong, you got some good people out there. I mean, some nice cats out there. But I guess what I'm trying to say is the fact that it was a different, things were just so different when Biggie and Pac was on the scene.
Mm-hmm.
And when hip hop lost Pac, like you lost that, like, kind of like that revolutionary spirit, you know, I think that real wildness. I mean, of course, we still have Public Enemy, but you know, Public Enemy is Public Enemy. We know what to expect from them, but Pac, you never know. He went from, like, you know, California, Your Love to Dear Mama.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, wow, how do you do that one album? But he did it. You know, he went from Keep Your Head Up to, you know, How Do You Want It? It's like, whoa. Mm-hmm. It's like eating a greasy cheeseburger while having a healthy salad on your plate.
Yeah, they both changed the way we saw hip hop, especially later on, because both of them basically brought that, like, can I say, like, more of the rugged, they really brought the rugged side out of hip hop. Like, we were used to, you know, like, the little, you know, it was the, you know, we got the storytelling, we got the, but it didn't come out raw until, like, they came on the scene. It was written, and it really, you know, took off from there. So, you know what I'm saying? So they changed a lot of stuff, you know. Some of it, you know, like I said, some of it for the good, some of it for you know, for the bad. But, you know, on the most part, like I said, they changed a lot of things. You know, they changed the way we seen hip-hop, the way we seen certain things, you know, between him and Jay-Z. And then, like people on the West Coast side and all that other stuff. So, you know, like Bone Thugs and Harmony. We just seen a lot of change, a lot of things change, you know. Because of them.
Yeah, exactly. So,
And then, like,
you know,
I said, Biggie really put Brooklyn on the map. Like, he really put, like, we had our Brooklyn rappers, but he, like, put it out there. Like, everybody wanted to be from Brooklyn. Like, if you wasn't from there, you want to be from Brooklyn now just because of Biggie. You want to be from Brooklyn.
Yeah. Yeah, so you had some copycats or some frauds coming up, you know, riding in on the Biggie train.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And, I mean, it's interesting how even, you know, it's questionable. What would have happened if Biggie never died? Would Jay-Z have become as big as he is?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Mm-hmm.
You know, that's always been questionable. Yeah. Like, would he have become that big?
Yeah.
But, you know, I mean, it is what it is. You know, like I said, rest in peace, Biggie Smalls, man. You're definitely missed, brother. Your music and everything, definitely missed.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. Oh, my goodness. So. Yeah,
so,
that's about it with that. So, be ready to get into our topic tonight. I was trying not to cough, but excuse me, everyone, but it's coming up.
Nah, you gotta do what you gotta do. Yeah. All right, tonight's topic, because there's just no real way to not jump into it. All right. The Oscars.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Because, you know, depending on what's said or how it's said, you know, people going to want to label you a hater, or they're going to want to say that, you know, you're saying stuff against your people, this, that, and the third, and all this. And I'm not saying anything against anybody. This doesn't have anything to do with my people in general. But it just really has to do with the fact that, yo, okay, I watched Moonlight.
Mm-hmm. Yeah?
No.
Ugh.
No, I don't think it was Oscar worthy.
No.
I don't think it was Oscar worthy.
No, it wasn't.
I don't know why they felt. I mean, the cinematography of it was cool. You know, it was definitely good, but the whole storyline itself, I mean, I don't want to spoil it for anybody who didn't see it, but, you know, my take on Moonlight was basically a young kid, maybe like, what, he's probably like 10 or 11 years old, something like that?
Yeah, I think he's about, probably about 9 or 10. I'll say that from when he started. Nine or 10.
He's struggling with his identity in terms of his sexuality.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And my thing is, just right there, I've never, How does that happen? If that happens, like, is that really real? Like, are there kids out there that age that know that they're homosexual, or do they have some type of tendencies or something? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's pretty young to coming from that. Like I said, I don't know.
Well,
once again,
I don't think they know. Sorry. I don't. I'll put it to you like this. In this, maybe back when we were younger, or maybe, like, I'll say a couple of years ago, and meaning when I say a couple of years ago, I'm going to say literally, like, maybe, I'll say between 10 and 15 years ago, yeah, maybe that might be possible that they don't have an inkling of it at that time. But nowadays, I think they know. I think they know that there's something different about them.
Well, okay. So with that being said, it's like, does that kind of go along with the theory? And I've heard it said somewhere before, like, oh, you're born gay. Or like people just, you know,
I don't think that goes with that. Like I said, it can't be, I don't think that's anything of being, brought into this world like that. I don't think that's what it is. But I just think that with this day and age, I think they may know younger because, once again, as we are getting into this topic, it's like, once again, it's being pushed. It's being seen all over the place. Like I said, these kids don't have any but society has no discretion of what to put on TV or music or radio or videos or shows. You understand? They don't have no discretion. So these kids are watching this stuff. And maybe they may feel something, but they don't want to express it to anybody, or they don't know how to express it to somebody, but they know themselves that something is, you know, you could say not off, but they know something is, you know, with them.
Okay. Now, wait a minute. Before we go any further, guest caller number is 347-324-3395. That's 347-324-3395. Once again, you're rocking with the menu. Big Red, Brother D, you're on the air, Blog Talk Radio. Topic for tonight, Oscars, really? But it goes deeper than that. It's deeper than rap. But anyway.
Well, we're going to get to that point.
Okay. Like I said, watching it, like, I'm thinking about when I was coming up.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't really have any, you may have had a couple of kids, like, you may have had a couple of boys that may seem a little more feminine than other, but it didn't mean that they were gay or they were homosexual at that time. But it doesn't mean that they identified with that, but see, now, it's like what you said. It's like the other option has been given. Before, you just seen mommy and you seen daddy, and or you just seen male and female, however.
Mm-hmm.
But now when you step out the door, you see signs and pictures with two men. You see commercials with two women. You see this and you see that. And so it just, there's a blur. There's a, you know what I'm saying? There's a blur in the line.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
It, homosexuality, to me, is kind of being paraded around as like, well, it's another option. You don't have to be straight. Like, you can also be this, too. Like, I don't have a problem. Like I said, me personally, I don't have a problem with anybody. My whole thing is just don't get on my goddamn nerves. I don't care what you are. I don't care what spaceship you came in. I don't care who you sleeping with. I don't really care. Just don't get on my nerves.
Right. Just don't get on my damn nerves.
Yeah. Just don't get on my nerves. Don't touch my alcohol. You know what I'm saying? We'll be all right. We'll be all right. So, but you know what? It seems like if you're not gay and you say something about it, if you're not homosexual and you say something about it that doesn't coincide with what someone that is homosexual says, then you're like anti-gay. And so I have a problem with that. I have a serious problem with that because you can't label me. First of all, I don't care about your goddamn label because what you eat don't make me shit. But my thing is, you can't sit there and tell me what I am, and you don't even know me. You're like, a lot of people are so ignorant and closed-minded, like they don't want to hear what someone else has to say or however they have to say it. Because they're too busy focused on their point, but they don't want to hear no one else's point. Like, I went into a store today. I went to a store today, and on the door. Now, I went in this store some time ago, and it had a sign on the door that said bathroom, male and female. But now,
right,
when I went in the store today, it said all genders are welcome. And I'm like, mm-hmm, well, wait a minute, what other gender is there? There's male and female. Like, what other, like, is there something that I don't know?
Whatever you identify with, remember, that's the thing that you can't discriminate. Whatever you identify with, that's what bathroom you use. Like I said, that's what it is now. And I've seen that sign several times. Whatever you identify with, that's what you know, that's whichever bathroom you go to, or that's, you know, or you can go in there, whatever. That's just, like I said, that's what's going on now.
Listen, well, so if I just feel like, oh, I feel pretty today, I feel like a woman, I'm going to go use a woman's bathroom. That's what I want to do.
That's what it means. So I guess so. That's the only way that I can explain it to you, or that's how they're making it seem like, just like you said, if you feel like womanly today, you go use woman's bathroom.
All right. You know what?
If I feel like a dude, I'm going to go use a guy's bathroom.
But once again, and I think, like, you know, and Hot Rod had this on his show a couple of weeks ago. But mm-hmm, my thing is, stop it. Yo, really? Real talk? Stop your fuckers. Stop it. Everybody, listen, before all of this and all this, oh, well, everybody looking for some type of option, other options. Everybody's looking for some type of freedom. Listen, if you can't free yourself, then you're going to stay trapped forever. But how many years, how many decades homosexuals been using, whether it's gay men using a male bathroom or lesbians using a female bathroom, how long has this been going on now? All of a sudden, you like, listen, no, I don't even want to use the bathroom.
You know who you think for that?
Feel, huh?
You know who you think for that? Thank Caitlyn Jenner for that. Thank Caitlyn, a.k.a. Bruce, Big Bruce. Thank him for that. That's why all of this came. Thank him for that.
He been confused he had his situation all his life. But my whole thing is this. I'm not listening or putting anything in anyone who puts the claim or what you felt like a woman trapped in a man's body all these years, and now all of a sudden you like in your damn 60s and you want to be a woman?
Yeah.
Or you want to
go around
acting like a woman? Listen, little dumbass up, man. You know how many other men out there who are feminine, but they just don't feel like they have to go look the part? So wait a minute. How could you be gay then? Because my whole thing is.
But that's not considered. But remember, you have to remember. Okay, that's just like Now, I don't know how true it is. Now, so these days, I don't think that goes with the same thing as back in the days. And I'm going to say, like, maybe the 70s, the early 80s, mid-80s, where you've had men that did the what's those shows again? Where they dress
like
up as women.
With Tom Hanks and the other guy? What was that show?
Can say something like that. But they did shows where they dressed up as women. They did the shows where they dressed up as women, but they weren't necessarily gay. Now, I don't...
Exactly.
Now, for years... Wait, but for years, when I was younger, and I was young... Now, this is how I'm trying to tell you. I was young, and I didn't necessarily believe that, because I'm saying to myself, if you're dressing up like a woman, and your hand gestures, and you're doing things like a woman, you got to have some type of you know, you have to have, it's something, you know, and you got to be gay somewhere. You have to be to do that. But then again, but I've heard it several times where men will say, well, I'm not gay. I just dress up in the women's clothes to do this show or do this or do that. So that's what I said. It's a very fine line to this thing here. Very fine line. All
right. You know what? To me, because then we kind of went too far forward. We got to double back. But
all right. But see, quick. See, I'm gonna go back into it right now because listen, that's my thing. Why is it that, and especially with our people, with our men of color, I'm going to say our men of color, why is it that now, in order for our men of color to get any type of recognition of anything, they have to do something I'm not going to say negative, but some of it is negative, or they have to do something that's just not, why are we getting praise, why are you getting praised for that?
All right, now, okay, so let's go back then, because to let's just get into that. All right, so the Oscars. Now, once again, I don't feel Moonlight was Oscar worthy. The main character probably only said, 40 or 50 words throughout the whole movie.
Everybody in that movie only said about 30 or 40 words, because I didn't see any actual acting in that movie.
Exactly. Now, I'm also looking at, like, how do they base this off of this being, like, a great movie that's Oscar-worthy? Now, you had a boy struggling with his homosexuality at the age of, 10 or 11 or whatever.
Right, not whatever.
And a drug dealer,
mm-hmm.
You know, shows him some love, like, not in a sexual way, but just on a, hey, kid, listen, be who you want to be, and, you know, I got your back. But then they go into another part of the frame of his life where he's a teenager in high school, and that dude
mm-hmm.
has died, and he's still struggling with who he is sexually.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
then later on, they go into another phase where he's adult, and
hello.
He's a drug dealer. Yeah. Hello?
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, he's a drug dealer. So
right.
I'm saying to myself, like, to me, you're trying to tell me that you're giving an Oscar to a gay drug dealer?
Right. Absolutely. Because like I said, it's like, yeah, exactly. And it's like, once again, you're pushing something on everyone again. Okay. And like I said, it's always our people that always get the hard end of the stick of it. My thing is, okay, once again, the guy that got the Oscar, that's fine, because he's a wonderful actor. But in this movie, I didn't see it was worth them giving that Oscar to him or anybody else in that movie, because there was no acting really in this movie.
Now, let me guess, because I didn't see the Oscars. I don't watch those dumbass shows.
No, I don't watch it either. That's why we're doing
biased.
This show, because I don't watch none of them. I don't watch any of them award shows, really.
But the guy who won the Oscar was the drug dealer, right?
Yeah, the guy, the guy that was, what's his real name?
I forgot his real name, but the name in the
movie
was Juan.
Right. So, yes, sorry. They gave, what happened was, from what I've seen on basically on Facebook, what happened was that they were supposed to give it to another movie, and they claimed that they made a mistake, so, you know, quote unquote made a mistake, and that's not the movie that was supposed to get it. It was supposed to be the Moonlight movie. Excuse me. So they gave it. So they was like, they made a mistake. Oh no, we wasn't supposed to give it to. It was supposed to go to the Moonlight movie. That's what it was. So now, once again, why is it that you couldn't give it to the other Like, what was it about that movie that you couldn't give it to them, but you had to give it to the Moonlight movies? It's like, okay, we got to put one black movie in here to, you know, because, you know, the Oscars, you know, they mostly do they people movies.
Exactly.
So they said, okay, yeah, we got to let one movie, we got to get one black movie in here and give it to one, like, give an Oscar to one black movie. Because guess what? There was plenty of black movies that came out last year. Hidden Figures. And like I said, Fences, why you couldn't give that to Denzel again? Why you couldn't give that movie, period?
Because Denzel didn't play like a drug dealer, a crooked
exactly.
cop drug dealer.
Exactly, but you gave it to
a gay drug dealer.
That played the no,
Riley
Williams. I'm saying, yeah, they gave her for the acting in the movie. Okay, that's fine, but why couldn't that be movie of the year or Oscar? No, come on now y'all playing around now. And this is why people stop, you know, going to, you know, doing these awards, I mean, these award shows and boycotting them sometimes because it's just like, this is what you're doing and you only do this to our people. You don't do that to anybody else.
Oh, his name is Mahershala Ali.
Yeah,
he
that's
played,
his name. I can't pronounce his name. Right.
Yeah.
And like I said, he's a very good actor. Right, he's a very good actor because I've seen him in other movies and shows where he has played. And he's a very good actor.
Yeah.
Now, if he was going to do that, y'all could have gave him for Best Supporting Actor or Actor, but not say, okay, we're going to give this award for the whole movie.
Yeah, exactly. Like, okay,
that's
so
BS.
I still didn't see Fences. And you're trying to tell me that Fences wasn't Oscar-worthy?
Exactly. But no, it
because
wasn't
I heard a lot of
words,
people talking
because
about
just
this.
Like you said, because it wasn't something negative. Just like a couple of years ago with Halle Berry and Denzel
Monster
Ball. for Monster Ball and Training Day.
Yeah.
He got for Training Day because he was just basically the same thing. He was a crooked cop. And she got it because she was being sexually exploited throughout the whole movie. So that's the only time you're going to give Oscars to people is to our peoples when they're doing stuff like that instead of giving them for. So like I said, Hidden Figures was a good movie. I didn't see it yet, but why wasn't that Oscar worthy?
Now, I saw Hidden Figures. And the thing that bothers me about, because I'm going to tell you straight up, yo, I'm tired of these damn movies. I'm tired of seeing these regurgitations and retold stories. I'm not, once again, knocking anybody's hustle. Because Hidden Figures is great. But I'm just kind of tired of seeing these movies in that set in the time where we're subservient to white people. I'm getting tired of seeing that. And it seems like those movies always become like the ones that sell. Or like the shows like Underground, or like Roots Rebooted. Like, what makes the story of slavery so damn interesting? Because it's just like they making money off the story all over again. It's like,
right.
Yo, I don't find the story.
I feel it's the guilt.
Interesting. I don't find it. I'm just tired of seeing that. I'm just trying because to me it keeps making a suggestion. Or it just keeps, it's like, this is where you came from. Know your place. Like, this is how we used to have you. Like, you want to keep reminding me of how my ancestors came up. You know what I'm saying? I'm tired of seeing that. It's like a slap in the face in a way. But some people see it as, oh, well, our story has to be told. Well, dude, if it has to be told, why are they changing the history in the history books?
Well,
they never really
talked
that much about slavery in history books, especially when we was coming up in school.
Well,
they didn't say
after Ben Carson, they really ain't going to be talking about it because, as he said, we were immigrants.
Well, I don't know if you know, but they already started that.
I remember you telling me that.
History books. Huh?
No, I remember you telling me that.
Yeah, there was some new history books that they were making, and it was saying that the Chinese and the Africans came over here for job opportunities, which is a blatant-ass lie.
Yeah, of course.
Blatant-ass lie.
look at the world that we live in now. Like I said, you want to keep get putting out there. Now I'm gonna say this in the defense of what you said. You're right. I agree that they, you know, it's like, why did you keep bringing that up all the time? But then again, I have to say that we have to bring it up because, you know what, these kids need to know where they came from. They have to know. Even though it's annoying, you know why? You know, wait a minute. No. You know why it's annoying to us? Because we didn't already see Roots. Excuse me. Hold on. I'm sorry, everyone. We've already seen Roots. We've already seen this movie and that movie. We've already seen it. But these kids, but see, that's the point. We have to make them care. You're right, they don't care, but we have to make them care somehow. They have to care. They have to know where they come from. Because that we're losing them. Just like gentrification, that's like I tell my children about gentrification. They are uprooting you, and they're trying to tell you, listen, we want y'all out of here. We're going to put everything around you, and we're going to build up, and we're going to put y'all out of here slowly but surely, one by one. We're going to get rid of y'all and run y'all back down south where y'all need to be. Because
but then
they'll
be running us back up here.
You're right, because they would like to run us out the country. Well, that's what they trying to do. That they would like to run us out the country. But that I'm just saying, it's already happening. Because I tell my kids all the time, half of my friends, the majority of my friends that I went to high school with, don't even live in New York anymore. Some of them are just starting to move down there, or they've been down there for years. And like I told them, I said, don't you see it? I said, if you know your history, you know how they said when people went from the South, they ran away from the South to get to the North. Now everybody's running to the South to get away from the North because they're running us out of here.
My thing is this. See, all of that right there is BS. But the thing is, as a people, as a black people, people keep going for it. They keep going, they keep eating the cake. I keep saying they keep eating the steak because, you know what, they're too focused on the pretty shiny things. They're too focused on the material things. See, one thing I have to say about, and if anybody can call right now, 347-324-3395, it's a guest calling number, and step to me on it. But it's like, yo, see, white people, a lot of them, they know the difference, and they teach their kids the difference. Like, yeah, you can go listen to that rap song, but that ain't real. That's not real life. But see, it's not their reality.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of them would never understand it. But see, at the same time, they're the ones fostering their kids and telling them, hey, you know, you're going to be a doctor, you're going to be a lawyer, you're going to be this, you're going to be that, you're going to be great.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of these doors open for them. Why? Because of their color.
Of course. Of course, you
and
know that.
Who they know, and et cetera. As to where, for blacks, listen, some of us be like, man, you trying to be too busy being like 50 Cent or too busy being like Housewives of Atlanta, being ratchet and thinking that
sure, Housewives
that's
of
what it's
Atlanta,
all about.
You mean Love and Hip Hop, Nate? Listen.
Or Love and Hip Hop, whatever. I don't watch those.
Yeah, Love and Hip Hop. Yeah, they more on that level. These young people are more on that level.
So you're so busy trying to be something that society finds disgusting. Just because they put it on TV doesn't mean that they don't. Society agrees with it. It's just entertaining.
Right.
Because we've always been
and they only put it on in your neighborhood.
Some of these white people out here. We've always been entertaining.
Yeah, but they only put it on believe me. And, you know, my mother told me that a long time ago, but I kind of didn't believe it, but now I believe it now. Only certain things they put on in certain neighborhoods, like that Love and Hip Hop, they probably don't even have that on anybody's white in the white neighborhood on their cable. Yeah. They probably don't even have BET.
Exactly. See, that's what I'm saying. Why would they want that package? They ain't black, so they don't need to know. They don't want to be a part of black entertainment television.
Right.
Why would they care? But
they don't even have BET or VH1 and all that stuff. They don't have none of that stuff.
Yeah, because it has nothing to do with them. Like, there's some of them are not interested in all of this music and some of the stuff that's going on out here.
Right.
And, but, you know, kind of to stay back, you know, slide back into the topic, is like, so you award us, you award black people for what roles, and it doesn't even have to, because, like, I'm a little more annoyed at the fact that it has nothing to do with him being homosexual. It's the fact that you made him a homosexual gay drug dealer. Yo, come on, man.
Exactly. Come on, son.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Are you serious?
Exactly.
Like,
now, my thing is this. Then he reunites with the same guy. It's like, all right, he supposedly, okay, he went to jail. He comes home, and that's, it's like, then you reunite with this, with the same dude on some, like, and you still have feelings for this guy.
Yeah.
Guy got feelings for him. I just had to be like, okay. I had to just,
like,
soak it in.
What is he, homosexual? He's not homosexual. Like, you know what I'm saying? All right, that situation happened on the beach. Okay, fine. And then when he met up with him years later, he said he ain't never been touched like that by anybody or whatever.
Right,
whatever. Okay,
by any
fine.
Man, exactly. But mind you, and I mean, you know, I don't mean to say, but the other guy, he done moved on with his life. He done, you know,
had a kid,
met him a woman or whatever.
Girl, yeah.
Right. And, like, it's like, okay, now what is dude's situation? Like, I don't mean to laugh, but it's just like, I don't understand. I still don't understand where in the hell they thought that that movie was Oscar worthy. Like I said, I think it was more of, you know what, we got to put one black movie and give them an award. We didn't give any other black movies an award, so we got to give it to them.
Well,
I think that's what it was.
Okay, but it didn't have to be that movie.
Right, that's what
like
I understand.
Not, once again,
that.
I'm not trying to knock nobody, and I'm not trying to knock anyone's hustle. But you're trying to tell me, because from my understanding, the Oscar is like one of the highest, or is the highest award that you can get in terms of a motion picture and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
So you're trying to
mm-hmm.
tell me that the highest award goes to a movie where a young black man that grows to be an adult is confused about his sexuality. He grows into be a drug dealer. His mama was on drugs. It's not like he was trying to. We've all seen those movies where you try to escape the hood and you turn around and you make something of yourself and you become successful. The get away. You know, you jump over
didn't
the
do
obstacles.
That.
None of that. None of that.
No.
He was just confused and homosexual, and he was
and
basically in love
he
with
was
his
trapping.
Friend that wasn't in love with him.
Yeah, he was trapping in the trap house or trapping or whatever the
yeah,
hell he was
trap
doing.
House. Yeah, he was trapping.
Oh.
He was trapping. I'm like, all right. Okay. I'm not knocking the movie, but it didn't deserve an Oscar because it's not like you showed, it was a movie that showed us as a people in the best light.
Mm-hmm.
It's not. I mean, I didn't see Brokeback Mountain, but this seemed like another, just a black version of it. That's all.
Yeah.
That's what it just seemed like. It just seemed like a black version of Brokeback Mountain.
Yep, exactly. And you know that guy. And you know that got an Oscar back in the days.
Yeah. Okay. But now, so you're awarding people for homosexuality, or was the story really that good? You know what I'm saying? Like, stick to the script, man. If it's a good story,
right,
then I can understand. Like, I've seen Fences, the actual play.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a great damn story.
Well, you're going to love
greater
the movie,
than
I'm
a Moonlight
you.
Story. Moonlight is a movie. Fences is real life.
Right, exactly. When you look at it, that's real life also. But I think it's the way they told it or the way they showed it is why, a lot of stuff was missing. That's how I've seen that movie. A lot of things were missing.
Without the grease. Like frying chicken without the grease.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Or without seasoning or something. But it's a lot of, it was a lot of ink, like, pieces were missing. And I think that's what the problem. See, with Fences, it's nothing missing. With that movie, things were missing. And it's just like, okay, it jumped from one scene, and then it went into something else, and then it's just like, what happened in between this? Well, can you show, like, they could have, my thing is, they could have shown, like, okay, after when he went to jail, like, what happened? Did something happen in there that made him change from what he felt or, like, or something? Like, show me something.
Yeah, like, why did he come out of jail?
Give me a little more.
Why did he come out of jail, you know, just wanting to be a drug dealer? Like, really?
Right.
Like, of all, there's millions of jobs out there. Like, first of all,
he was a stupid kid because he went to school every day.
Yeah, but it's also like, look at Juan. Okay, in the beginning, Juan didn't even want to admit to him that he was selling drugs.
Right, exactly.
Juan didn't, you know what I'm saying? It's like Juan's attitude is like, don't be like me, little homie. Don't be like me.
Right, exactly.
But next thing you know, toward the end of the movie, is later on in life, look what happened to Juan. Juan just died. They didn't say if he got killed or something. They just said he died. Okay, fine.
Yeah,
So now all of a sudden, you know, and he's been taken care of by, you know, he was being taken care of from time to time by Juan's, you know, chick.
Girlfriend,
his mother's still drugging or whatever. But he gets older, his mother's in some type of rehab or whatever. She wants to do the whole apology thing and yada, yada, yada. All right, fine. But wait a minute. Once again, you trying to tell me that there's nothing else this boy could have did with his life?
Exactly.
He went in the classroom and smashed dude with a chair and went to jail. So he just come out, and then all of a sudden he just starts selling drugs.
He's trapped.
All
right. Right. He's selling drugs. Okay. Like, yeah, exactly.
No.
And wasn't a stupid. Right, exactly, and that's the thing. He wasn't a kid that was, you know, always in trouble. He wasn't a troublesome kid. He went to school. Okay,
He just had the issues of the bullies. But once again, I'm not knocking Moonlight. I'm not knocking the story. I'm not knocking anyone's hustle. But comparing it to it being giving it an Oscar, it's kind of like a slap in the face because you're saying like, oh, this is what we expect of you people, and we're going to award you for staying true to basically what you do or who you are or letting us know or giving us some type of insight of what goes on in your community or in your life. Like, this is how it is.
Mm-hmm.
Once again, it just reminds me of Roots. It reminds me of these
right.
movies where it shows the downtrodden trials and tribulations of black folk. And
right,
it's
like how many times they move.
Fabulous.
Right,
fabulous. It's fabulous. It's
how many times.
Slaves.
But that's the thing. Like, how many
chains.
Times.
Did you see the way she wore those chains? And that, oh my gosh, was fabulous, fabulous. Like,
but
really?
That's the thing. It's like, how many times have we seen, you know, this type of movie, like with that movie, how many times we've seen that, the crackhead mother and the child and the kid is struggling. Like, we've seen those movies.
Precious.
Once again, just like you said.
Precious.
Exactly. We've seen those stuff. We've seen these things before.
We lived that.
Exactly.
But wait a minute. There's white people that lived that too. They ain't getting Oscars for those stories.
No, because you know what? Those white kids that have lived that, or white people that lived that, they've made something of themselves. Or they've had rehab, or their parent, their parent had, you know, got help. Remember, we can't afford that type of help.
You know, America, or society in America, is in love with the black tragedy, the black story. Because they just keep remarketing it and remarketing it and remarketing it and reselling it.
And getting awards for it.
Yeah, exactly.
And we keep getting awards for it.
It's like they give you an Oscar to say, here, you should be thanking us for telling your story and making it popular.
Mm-hmm.
And we actually like it.
Unbelievable. Yeah, and it's not just the and it's not just the Oscars. It's all these awards. It's like the Grammys, the American Music Awards. Same thing. Like they started like. Well, I used to watch those. Well, that's about the only like I really used to watch like the the American Music Awards and the Grammys because you know I'm a music person. I like that
stuff.
Yeah,
I used to watch that years ago, but then I started seeing what it was. Really,
yeah,
like,
that's what I mean. Exactly, that's what I mean. I'm saying I stopped watching. Please, let me tell you something. I tell everybody this. After that year that they put MC Hammer, what's his name, Vanilla Ice, and Public Enemy up against each other, and I think did MC Hammer. I think it was Vanilla Ice one. I was done watching it after because I said y'all gotta be kidding me. Vanilla Ice was like the buffoon of rap, like the white buffoon of rap.
Yeah, like couldn't they get Everlast? Everlast,
exactly.
You know what I'm saying? Everlast took it serious. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
They could have got somebody else instead of Vanilla Ice.
Ain't that the guy from House of Pain? Ain't that the guy from House of Pain?
Yeah, exactly, yep.
Yeah. Yeah, they could have. I mean, are you kidding me? After that, I was like, I'm not watching this anymore. I couldn't. After that, I was like, I'm done. I can't ever again. Because like now y'all really getting ridiculous with it.
Yeah.
And it just doesn't make any sense. It's like.
It still doesn't make any sense. That's why, like, I'm really, really tired of the fact that we just keep getting casted in a certain light. And like, I just have a serious problem with that, man. I have a very serious problem with that.
Right. And it's just like, it's not going to, once again, like you said, I think they're fascinated with our story. They don't want, and you know, I just don't get it. It's like you don't want us here. You don't want us to succeed. You don't want us to do it. But you're so fascinated with our tragic stories or our you know, downtrodden stories or slavery. And oh my God, they just, but then, and somebody walked into your office or my name need a job. The first thing you're doing is calling security. Oh, security.
Exactly.
Get out of here. Get this crazy man the hell out of my office.
You don't belong here. You belong in the street.
Right. Right. Or you holding your bag when you see somebody getting in the elevator looking at somebody, you clutching your bag. And it's like, really? But you don't mind seeing that on the screen.
Of course not, because it's safe. You see it on the screen, so it's safe. Like they don't have to walk through it, or they don't have to be a part of it. It's on the screen. And like the people who feel that, oh well, I want to know about black people, they'll watch a movie. Listen, it's just like Facebook. Listen, you don't know. You can Facebook friend somebody all you want. You don't know anybody. You can't call somebody a friend just on Facebook. Like, I understand what they say or how they say it because of, you know, the terms that they use. But real talk, a friend is deeper than that.
Right.
You can't just turn around and say, oh, we're friends just because, you know, we know each other on Facebook. Like, Facebook is not a way to find out about someone's life. Facebook is not a way to, oh, this is what this person is thinking. Listen, just because somebody posts something on Facebook, it doesn't mean that they're thinking that. It doesn't mean that they feel that way. It just means that there's something that they may agree with, or is it something that they just want to express at the time. But to think that you know a person just because of the statements that they've made on Facebook, you're an asshole.
Right.
Matter of fact, I'm sorry.
Right.
We got to go with your line. You're a dummy jackass. You're a dummy jackass.
Right? You're a dummy jackass. Yeah.
So
yeah, definitely.
You watching... So you going out there and watching a movie like Moonlight or watching some of these flavors, like this is going to give you some type of idea like, oh, this is how black people are? Like this is how they really
right.
are. Or you watch a rap video, oh, this is what black people are really all about? They all act like 50
Yeah, people. Right. Like,
they
want to
live like, they want to live like Jay-Z and stuff like that. It's like, come on. Like,
no.
really?
Mm-mm. Absolutely not.
And this
Absolutely
is, and this,
not.
Is the, this is the problem. This is one of the problems that I have with the fact that you giving an award to a movie, you're giving an award to a movie that really doesn't deserve it.
No.
I'm
no,
not, like
I really
I'm not
don't.
Taking anything away from the writers, the director, the creators. I'm not taking that cast, the crew. I'm not taking anything away from them. Because I'll sit there and say, okay, it was a good movie. There's some question marks that I have, but I'm not going to say it was a bad movie, but I don't feel it deserved an Oscar. Because if you're going to recognize a movie with, I mean, let's face it, I think it was like one, if not 95%, 100% black cast. Because I don't recall seeing any white people.
No, I didn't either. Not at all.
So, but you give it an Oscar because he's a homosexual drug dealer at the end of it. And he, and once again, it's not like he still found himself by the end of the movie.
But that's what I'm saying. It's a lot of loophole. Like, a lot of stuff was missing. And that's why I said, like I said, to me, I think, once again, I think it was just that they said, you know what, we have to give a black movie an Oscar. Excuse me. I think that's, like, the bottom line, that's what it was. We have to give a black movie an Oscar. Because we didn't give any black movies an Oscar, so now we have to give one. So you know what? Let's act like we made a mistake to give it to this other movie and give it to Moonlight. So this way now, because even when they were showing previews way before they even put it out, because this was a Sundance movie.
Yeah.
And they were only
exactly.
showing this movie in certain places. Before that even happened, they sure enough didn't put it out there what the movie was about. They omitted a whole bunch of stuff, especially when they showed it on started showing the previews for it. They omit a whole bunch of stuff. But they made you interested in seeing it because, like, oh, it's a riveting movie. It's this, it's that. Oh, my God. This is, this critic said it's this critic. So you know what? Everybody's going to go run and see it or try to see it. But then when you're sitting down and then, our people, not once again, and I'm not knocking anybody, if you're gay, whatever, straight, upside down, I don't care what you are. But the thing is, with our people, it's like, stop trying to trick people. Stop trying to force something on people. That's just like forcing religion on people. That, you know what I'm saying? You understand what I'm saying? It's like trying to force a particular, but guess what? That's what they've been doing all our lives, forcing religion and all this other stuff on us. They've been doing that to us all our lives. Forcing things on us. So now you're doing the same thing.
Exactly.
You're doing the same thing now. Now you're forcing this on us because you're going to put it out there and you're not going to say what the movie's about. You're just going to put it out there because you see that particular actor or this or that. You're going to be like, oh, yeah, well, I'm interested because he's a good actor. Like I said, he's an excellent actor. And because, you know, they had other people in it that you're like, oh, okay, that person, I know this person from another movie or show or whatever. So, okay, I'm going to watch it. But then when you're sitting down watching it, it's just like, then you kind of get, not I'm going to say, yeah, kind of angry, because it's like, are you serious? This is how you're portraying our people? We thought it was going to be something different. Don't trick me. Don't do that. And that's exactly what they did. They didn't already, they tricked everybody, said we're going to put this out here, and guess what? By the time you realize what's going on, we're going to give it an Oscar. And guess what? Ain't nothing you can do about it now, because it's already out there.
This
and that's how
true.
They do. They sneak it right up on you. Like I said, that's just like everything else that they're doing now, gentrification, all of that. They're just sneaking it up on you, and they know some of our people are just not paying attention.
Like, yo, real talk. Real talk. I mean, not to cut across, but like the story of Khalif Browder. That story right there. Like, those who are not familiar with the story, it was a young man who committed suicide a couple of years ago, basically after spending years in Rikers Island and wasn't given any type of real, you know, recognition by the legal system. No one helped him. It's ridiculous. It was a miscarriage of justice. Like, but yet, I don't see why a story like that, you know, couldn't be found Oscar worthy or something. But
no,
I mean, hey, that's
they're
just,
not gonna
that's
do that.
Just me. You know what I'm saying? Because of course he was, you know, he in his claims he was innocent, you know, and the police, you know, mistreated him and, you know, put something on him that, you know, just basically said that, you know, he did this and he didn't do it. And all the while he was in jail, he was protesting. But once again, that's not Oscar worthy. But once again, a homosexual drug dealer, that's Oscar worthy.
Mm-hmm.
Where's the positive? Show me the positive. Show me the positive about the end of the movie.
They don't want to. That's not their aim and that's not their goal. Because they know people like us are paying attention, and they know once again, they know that the younger generation are not gonna pay attention to that. Because half of them are trying to still find themselves, or they're trying to imitate what they're seeing.
Listen,
that's the sad thing about it.
Like I said, I'm tired of us. Once again, some people will probably try to take what we're saying and make it that, oh, you're anti-gay or you're homophobic. Once again, don't be an asshole. Your life is not that important. Whatever you
exactly.
say really doesn't matter. I have to come across that way because this is not what it's about. It has nothing to do with homophobia. It has nothing to do with anything. But my whole thing is, how do you reward how do you give a movie such a high honor, but yet they were like, "What was the positive?
Mm-hmm.
Where was the positive in it? That's what I'm really looking for. Where was the positive at the end of it? I mean,
right.
Listen, the boy got tired of being bullied, and he took a chair and whacked homie with the chair.
Right. Where was the intervention? Why didn't the teacher? First of all, why didn't anybody see that this boy was being bullied anywhere?
Exactly,
but
because
see,
you know what?
But like
for some
I said,
reason, bully, it was being condoned throughout the whole movie.
Mm-hmm.
That bully was being condoned.
Exactly, but guess what? If that was, and like I said, sorry, you know, if people are getting offended or they get offended over the gay thing and us putting, like, race into it, but it is what it is. Guess what? If this was a movie where everybody was blonde hair, blue eyes, or brown hair, blue eyes, somebody would have intervened. It would have been lawyers involved. It would have been counselors involved. It would have been a whole different movie.
Listen. If it wasn't called Moonlight, if it was called Sunlight, then
this is called
Moonlight. If it was called Sunlight, then
oh God, right?
It'd be a totally
if it was called
situation.
Sunlight, yeah.
if he had
but
told
that's
me that, like, that boy would have got help. He would have got help.
His mama would have got help. They'd have put her in a rehab. Yep.
Listen, they would have solidarity. He would have came to school and everybody would have been wearing ribbons.
Exactly, and that's my whole point. It's like, why is this?
It's okay for you to be you.
Right, exactly. And that's my thing. Why is it that this boy was allowed to be bullied from the time he was 9, 10 years old, however old he was, until he was in high school? And then he goes to, and then he, just like you said, he busts his boy in the back with a chair. Okay, guess what? That could have been prevented if he got counseling for it. But I guess, now I'm going to say this, I guess they're trying to say that is the equivalent of when their kids do it and they take a gun and kill everybody in the school or kill everybody in the class or something like that. I guess that's what they're trying to say. But guess what? Them kids don't go to jail. They get counseling.
Exactly. Or they kill them, if they don't kill themselves by them.
I was going to say, or they kill themselves. So, like I said, at the end of the day, unfortunately, you don't want to put race into it or anything else, but you know what it is? What is that? Just like you said with the Khalif Browder situation, and I've watched, I mean, I don't know, did you watch the documentaries on that yet or what?
I didn't watch it yet because I've seen so many other stories on it.
I haven't
yet to watch it. Like, it's gotten to the point where I don't want to watch, I might not watch it because it's depressing. It's a real reality check of how the system treats you, especially treats black men.
Well,
black men.
Right.
And
I don't
want to keep seeing that. I'm like kind of tired. I'm like, really?
Right.
Because I'm a black male and I got to go through it myself. So.
Right. Well, they have the, it was like, I think Jay-Z and I forgot the other guy's name, where they did it. They're doing like a, you could say like a documentary on it, because Jay-Z had spoke with the kid after he had got out of jail and stuff like that. But they've been showing it on TV, like they showed one part. It's like in parts. So far they showed two parts of it already. From last week to this week, and then they're going to do the third part, I think, next Wednesday. So, you know, basically it's just like, you know, it's just a sad situation because, like I said, you don't want to put race into it, but unfortunately, it is what it is. And it's not saying somebody is anti-white or this, that, and other. But you know what? These are our people. We have to. Unfortunately, and I hate that we have to do it, but we have to. It still makes no sense that we still have to fight for certain things now.
Well, yeah. I mean, yeah, you're absolutely correct. See, that's why Hidden Figures, like just it, like I said, was a great movie. You know, I liked it, but I'm just tired of seeing us portrayed in a certain, like, it's a regurgitation. Like, her story needed to be told, no doubt. But that era, it's annoying because, once again, it's like money is being made off the black tragedy. Like, the black tragedy is just like, oh, they can tell the story of Roots a million ways till Sunday. But somebody's going to be like, oh, this is excellent. This is great. Listen, so a couple of weeks ago, I went down to the museum in D.C., the Smithsonian, the African-American Museum of History and Culture, I believe. I hope I'm getting it right. And, I don't want to spoil it for anybody, but whoever goes to this museum, you got to go to the bottom floor first. You got to go to the bottom floor. You got to work your way. And I see the concept of the whole thing. It's a beautiful, beautiful museum. You got to start from the bottom and work your way up. But when you go to the bottom, when you're at the bottom and you go through this tour, Mm-hmm. Like, you can try not to be mad, but
it's
going
to
bother you. The fact that the amount of money, the amount of money and the amount of lives that were lost because of slavery, like what they tell you in the books and all this stuff, is nothing compared to the things that
to
you
actually
see
seeing it.
And the things that you read when you're in that museum. Like, it's a whole new eye-opener. And it's like, I just find it interesting. Like I said, there was white people there. There was all other types of people there other than black people. And I'm like, I was wondering, like, are you really interested to be interested? Or are you just here because you just wanted to, you know, congratulate somebody for your ancestors' crafty work or something? Like, I don't know, but it was just like, yo, really? So then I come out and then I see Moonlight and Oscar. I had to watch it. I was going to watch it eventually, but I watched it mainly because I know he was going to do this show, and of course I had to watch it before he did the show, and I heard about that Oscar, and I'm like, really? This is, once again, just like Monsters Ball, just like Training Day. Like I said, I haven't seen Denzel's version of Fences. I have seen the play. Great story. Great story. That's real. That's a struggle right there.
Right.
But so basically, you're trying to tell me that the gay kid going to be a drug dealer, or the confused gay kid going to be a drug dealer, is more important than the story of Fences. Yeah, I'm lost. You lost.
That's more interesting.
Because
once again, this is the images that are being portrayed and put out there. Yes, that's more interesting.
So not a strong black man who cares about his son.
Who wants to see that? Who wants to see a strong black man? Who wants to see that? Me or you, maybe, and maybe a few other thousands of people, but no, the majority, no, they are like, they don't want to see that. That's just like, what you call it? That's just like those Love and Hip Hop shows, and all that shit with them women fighting all over the place, and everybody looking the same, titties and butt and everything all over the place. Everybody got hair down to their ankle. That's more interesting than watching a show about a natural sister, a natural woman that's taking care of her kids, that has a husband, that's doing right, that's, you know, maybe goes to church or something like that, and they have, nobody wants to watch that. Or talking about issues that's happening right now in this world right now. Who wants to look into reality? Like, I was talking to, one of my nieces, and I was telling her that, you know, with these kids now, my thing is this: why should I want to go out and get a job where I can go on Instagram and somebody can hit me up on Instagram and say, "Yo, I could flip $50 to $500." Okay, as a female, why should I go out there and aspire to be a ballet dancer or dancer for Alvin Ailey when I can go on Instagram or Facebook and see so-and-so, Carly Red or Red somebody twerking in a club, twerking in a strip club, and I'm getting $1,000 a night. And I'm making money off of that.
Because
you understand what I'm saying? And guess what? The white people are also... Right, but that's the thing. But see, the white people are also supporting that nonsense. They support it, too, because they figure this is what the negativity, this is what these black, just like you said, this shiny thing. All you got to do is slash money in their faces, and they're going to take it, and they're taking it and run. All you got to do is show them somebody. Go ahead.
I mean, not to cut across, but all right.
No, go ahead.
What you're saying is like some things that I've seen. Like, you ever seen that subtle racism?
No.
Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, that or that just subtle, it's not even so much racism, it's just that subtle suggestion of like, oh, this is how we do and this is how your people are. Like,
right.
I've seen a sign. Like, you see advertisements on a bus or a train or something, and they show the white woman and the husband and the kids, and they have and they have a, she has a ring on. Or she, it could just be the white woman and she has a ring on. But usually, nine times out of ten, when you see a black woman in some type of picture or something, you don't see a ring. You see it with a kid.
Mm-hmm.
You see it with some detergent or some type of food or something like that, but you don't see a ring.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you ever noticed that, but I look at stuff like that. And
not
I'm like,
really.
You get this being, so you're trying to tell me only white people get married, but not black people?
Of course.
Hold on. Before you go forward, we gotta welcome 3054.
Uh-oh.
Hello? Hello, hello?
Yes.
Hello?
Yes.
Hello,
can
hello?
You can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes, sir.
I meant to tap the phone. I'm sorry. Donald Trump told me to tap the phone line, not to call in. I'm sorry to call in. Sorry about that.
You silly.
What's up, brother?
Nothing much. I just got in. So I'm sorry I missed most of the show. But it seems like you talk about white people and black people again.
Well, no, we were just actually talking about the whole thing with the Moonlight winning the Oscar. And was it really Oscar worthy? Huh?
I never saw the movie. I don't know about the movie. Nor do I care about the movie. But what someone told me, it was a black Brokeback Mountain. That was someone told me. Like, that's okay.
See? I just said the same thing earlier.
Yep, exactly.
Okay, not to say anything about gay people or anything like that, but I know there's some sensitive viewers out there.
Of course.
But the thing is, don't care about it.
But, all right, the Hot Rod. Let me just say, all right, we have a story set where the kid is like, so it goes in phases. When he was like 10 years old, 10 or 11, and then when he was a teenager, and then when he was an adult.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Now, by the end of the movie, it's like he never really identified himself with gay or straight. And then he became a drug dealer at the end of the movie.
Okay.
Later on in life, after he got out of jail, he became a drug dealer. And the Oscars felt, the Oscars felt like this is the actual movie.
Yeah. He said
a
gay
drug dealer?
Yep.
Yeah, gay drug dealer.
Okay, I'm sorry.
But he was still conflicted in his gayness.
And
he was still conflicted.
Stupid.
Talk about gay drug dealer. It's like, okay, perfect example. Long story short, last night in the elevator, I see two kids act like thuggish. One of them was wearing like a hip, big red, you know, like one of those hair pieces, like a hair scarf on top of the head, all red. I'm like, okay, are you trying to be a homo thug? I'm like, I don't get it. How can you be gay and be a thug at the same time? But whatever. So that's what I'm laughing about, like gay and drug lord together. I mean,
but see that's the sad part about it. That's the thing that I'm saying that they're pushing on these young people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That you can be hard rock, but you can also be a little fruitcake-ish on the side too. So now, not only are they pushing it in the music and stuff, and with these new rappers, but now you want to push it in the movie now.
Well, it's like saying I'm hot and cold at the same time. It's either you're hot or you're cold. I just don't see it that way. But back to Brother B topic, I don't know if you guys refer to this. So it seemed like when Denzel Washington won it for Training Day, he was a crooked cop, or Halle Berry.
Of course.
But she sell her ass out.
Exactly.
She won an Oscar. Out of all the performances, they want an Oscar for that?
And I refuse to watch Monsters Ball. I refuse to watch that movie.
I've never seen that movie.
When I heard about that, I was like, and somebody tried to actually clean it up and make it sound like it was like artistic. I'm like, get out of here, man. I said, I'm not watching
that. But see, that's what they would say about Moonlight. They'd be like, oh, it's artistic. I think that's why they gave it an Oscar because somebody just like you said, somebody just said, oh, it was revolutionary, it was artistic. No, it was bullshit. That's what it was.
I don't see what was revolutionary about it.
Okay,
why, was he a gay drug dealer? Come on, like they put. Listen, so you want to once again they have to keep some type of criminal element. That's what bothers me. It couldn't just be a story about a boy growing, a black boy growing up conflicted about his sexuality, but you had to put a criminal element in it. That's my, that's one of my biggest problems right there.
Like, well, like 12 years a slave.
That's the revolutionary part.
You have to be a slave to win an Oscar? I'm like, okay.
Yeah, right.
Yeah,
exactly.
How many slave movies do we have to see over and over again about the same thing? I'm sorry.
Exactly.
I was just saying that, right? I'm like,
yeah.
They keep regurgitating the same stories.
You either got to be
a
slave, a drug dealer, or you got to be gay or something demeaning in order to get an Oscar.
Yeah.
A pregnant transvestite or something, I don't know.
So when there's a black transgender, oh, you're a black transgender, here you go, Oscars. Thank you so much.
Exactly.
So last year at the Oscars, they make a big fit about not enough black people being nominated. So this year they give a couple of black people some Oscars. Here you go. Here's your token award, as usual.
But see, that's the thing. It's like the damned if you do and damned if you don't. We didn't get, people didn't get, you know, they had a problem with it. Then you give us something, now you're going to give us for some bullshit.
You know what, Brother B? She's right. It's not like that's an oxymoron. We're contradicting ourselves. We want something, we get it, and we're complaining about it.
Well, no, I don't care about a damn Oscar because it doesn't, listen. An Oscar, that's the, all that award stuff, that's the opinion of a few people.
Yeah.
Opinions,
I know
once again, what? Like assholes. Everybody got one. And you know what? I don't really care because, what you, once again, I'm going to say it. Sorry, Joe, if you're listening, but what you eat don't make me shit. Your opinion means nothing to me. I'm not going to lose any sleep over it. I care about who, as long as I know who I am, and I'm focused on who I am and what I have to do, that's what matters. See, everybody else, what they concerned with, listen, I don't lose no sleep over that. No one really should. Because you know what?
Well,
sometimes people are just not even honest with themselves, so how could you be honest with someone else?
That's very true. And for someone that worked behind the scenes of award shows like that, and to tell your viewers out, your listeners out there, there's a lot of backstage politics. You're right.
Oh, yeah.
But guess what? There's a lot of favoritism, a lot of backstage politics. It's all BS overall.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Guess what?
Yeah, I'm sure.
You want to ask her, what does that mean? Put it on yourself and collect dust? Life goes on.
Exactly.
Right.
It's like what I said to Big Red earlier. So you're trying to tell me the story of Fences, which has been told a few times. I think the first rendition of it was James Earl Jones.
Mm-hmm.
And then I saw it in like a high school play or whatever. I saw it. It was great. So now I didn't see the current one, but the thing is, you're trying to tell me that that story takes a back seat to Moonlight, a gay drug dealer, sexually confused drug dealer. Okay, I'm like, really? All right. You lost.
So Will Smith, he always played some positive roles. He never got nominated, not even once.
Exactly.
Yeah, of course not.
And I'm not a big Will Smith fan because he gets on my nerve, but he's a good actor.
Yes.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
just like you said,
I didn't even see the new movie. I didn't see his newest movie. I forgot what the name of it was because I wanted to see it, but it was along the line of 7 Pounds, of Pursuit of Happiness. And it's like, how come he didn't get nominated for any of that?
Exactly. Now, I bet you any amount of money, because Samuel L. Jackson, after this King Kong movie come out, watch, he going to get an Oscar for that, because I guarantee you, in this movie, he going to get killed or something. I hope not, but I think he going to get killed or something. He probably going to get an Oscar for that, or an Oscar because he's playing a bad, I don't know if the character he's playing is a bad dude.
No, he's not playing a bad dude. I think his role is like they go on this expedition to Kong Island, and he's like the I told y'all so.
I think he'll get an Oscar for that.
He played King Kong himself. That's what it is. And he a black double, a black person. So Samuel Jackson's the one for it. So he's King Kong right there.
Yeah.
And that's what I think, because did he win any? I don't remember him even winning any Oscars.
Well,
I don't think so. I know the movie. I think Pulp Fiction got some type of award or something.
I think the overall movie probably got it, but not like personally him.
But all right, guys. So I don't know if you talked about this earlier. Let's say you want roles, and that's the only roles that you could get. What can you do if that's those they keep giving black minority people over and over again? Can't blame us, the people, to play these stupid roles?
Mm-hmm.
You know, all you do is just try to make the money and just try to put yourself on the market out there.
But that's the thing. Why do we have to always, why do we have to, I mean, come on, for money? Really? Money is
a lot of people
the
do
whole
it,
thing with money. Money is nice. Money is good. Money gets things done. But you're trying to tell me that your money outweighs your integrity. Money outweighs your art. No.
Sometimes.
Yeah, you know, with some people, yes. With some people,
because
yes.
I asked that because, the guys and I, we watch wrestling all the time, and there's three black guys that make food on themselves on TV. And, you know, we shake our heads like, damn. But, you know, they got to feed their family. They got, you know, bills to pay like everybody else. So they want to go out wrestling to make fools out of themselves. Only these three black guys all the time. It's comedy. You know, white people love it. You know, they're laughing at us. But, like, is it worth it in the long term?
No, because you're supporting the stereotype.
Mm-hmm.
That's my issue, is you support the stereotype. You feed into the hype. And they sit there and say, see, we got our Sambos and Jigaboos. Or we got them all over again.
Yeah, exactly.
Dance for me.
They do it because they do it for the money. They don't want to be outcast. Because if you don't do what if you don't do what I say, then you're an outcast.
Mm.
Okay, or you're not going to be, or you get blacklisted. It's like, oh, he doesn't want to play that role. Well, we're not going to, you know, because you know what's so funny? And going back to Samuel L. Jackson. He said it at some award show. What was it? Was it the? Oh shoot, I forgot what award show he was at, but it was something. It was a black award show. I think the Image Award. And he said, you know what? He said, listen, I play every role that I can get. He said, I don't care what kind of role it is, I'm going to play.
Uh huh.
You know, and he said that's how I'm able. He said that's how why I'm able to keep working because he said I'm going to play every role, even if it's something
it's about the art.
Right.
That's him.
He likes
to challenge it.
Right. Right. Exactly.
He's very multifaceted. But there's some out here who are just doing stuff just for the sake of the dollar or the sake of praise. Like, listen, once again, I said it before and I'll say it again, I'm not knocking anyone's hustle. I'm not saying that the movie was bad and all that, but I want to see if these same people are going to show up in other movies that would top Moonlight, movies that make more that are more socially conscious or more emotional, you know, have some emotional depth and get the same type of recognition.
I'm still scratching my head. I don't think I ever met a gay drug lord before. I met drug lords. I met gay people. But I never met the combo.
He said a gay drug lord.
I just don't get it. I'm still scratching my head.
And you know what gets me? So in his adult life, he wasn't a bad looking dude. But they made sure they showed him bare chested. And I know the chicks was probably drooling. This made
I know
sure
I
they
was.
Yeah, more
huh?
Of, come
who,
on.
Who said
Betty,
that?
Tell, let me, come on, Big Red, huh?
I who
they
said
told
that?
Him in
he
the scene when he was laying in the bed? Come on now.
Look,
I know y'all
women
would eat that
who
up.
Said that?
I know y'all women would eat that up.
Oh, yeah. I was,
But yet, yeah. Yet, but yet, he's gay. Or he's confused. Yeah, okay.
Exactly, and that's the,
okay.
And you know what's so funny?
I
but that's the sad part about it also, because unfortunately, and look at it from, I'm going to say it from my side as being a woman, that's the thing. You have these men out here that look like him, good looking and everything, and guess what? They don't, they, some of them are gay, or they're confused about who, their sexuality.
So, I'm sorry, well, so the point
so
of
once
the story was the point of the story was about him being confused that whether he's gay or not, or that the drug was part of it, or does everything roll into one?
There really was no point, Hot Rod.
Oh, okay.
At the end
no,
of the movie,
there really
listen,
wasn't.
At the end of the movie,
it really
he
wasn't.
Was just being embraced. He's getting a hug from his friend. And,
oh, hey.
Yeah, it was like he still
hey.
Wasn't sure who he was, I guess. I don't know. Like, yo, I really, that's why I was wondering, what's the point? Because my thing is this, if you didn't highlight the fact, because it seemed like the whole movie was about him being bullied and about him being not sure of who he was, and then his mother was on drugs, and then he became a drug dealer. Okay, I'm still wondering, where's the point? What's with this story? What made it Oscar-worthy for you to say, this is an excellent movie, it's a story of a young black kid who's confused about his sexuality, his mother on drugs, and then he turns around and goes to jail because he hits his bully with a chair, and then he comes becomes a drug dealer. And he still doesn't know by the end of the movie if he's really gay or not.
Mm-hmm. And we don't even
okay,
know that
he hasn't
come
to grips with who he is. So I'm like, once again, really? What was the message that was sent?
And guess, and maybe that's why I won Best Picture. I don't know what to tell you.
Oh, okay.
Listen,
because like I said, I'm totally lost. I was lost. I got lost in like the second part of it when he was in high school. I was because like I said, dude, the main character only said like 50 words. It was a quiet movie.
Yeah, he was like a mute for the, like he was a mute the whole damn movie. What kind of movie is
yeah,
this?
Yeah, yo, listen, that was. You didn't have to act because there wasn't much for you to say. There
exactly,
wasn't much for anybody
and that's
to say in the movie.
And
really
that's what I meant. And that's what I was saying. Like, how the hell is this movie worth for Oscar? And nobody hardly really acted. There was no acting in the movie.
Wow.
Because everybody was damn mute.
Wow. I really have nothing to say because I'm just finding this funny. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I don't get it, but it's. Like I said, maybe it's not for me to get. It's politics that are kind of over our heads. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I just
okay.
really needed to kind of get that off my chest.
But before we go, Butterby, are you an actor?
No. A writer, yeah.
No, the haters might say because maybe you're not an artist, you're not an actor, you don't understand these type of things. You know, you have to be into the field to understand this.
Mm-hmm.
All right, I'll tell you a quick story. Years ago, I used to many moons ago, I used to run with some cats from Queensbridge on some music stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I was given a fork in the road. And they were like, listen, you can run with us and get this, or you can stay with your boys. And however, my loyalty was to my boys. Because we were doing our thing. We were doing our music our way. So,
yeah.
I'm not concerned about the money. I was never concerned about the money. Good to God. It was all about the art form thing. But
all right.
Give me, don't try to reward me for something that I didn't do or something. Like, if I don't have a point to what I'm saying, then don't try to give me some type of accolade for it because I don't feel I deserve it unless I made a point.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
But that's me.
I hear you.
That's Brother B, damn it.
Brother B,
and with less than 90 seconds left, all I'm going to say is, Hot Rod, thank you. as always, for calling in. Hot Rod.
Thank you, Hot Rod.
That Demetri B and Sean Black, Absolute Truth, 10:30 p.m. Mondays.
Of course, K-Dog.
Absolute Truth, Mondays. Check them out. And as for this episode of The Menu, send it again. Thank you again for calling in, my brother. Hope you and the children and the missus have a good night. Big
Red. Thank you so much. Same to you.
Yes.
Holla.
Holla.
Holla. Good night,
everyone. Everyone else.
All right. Good night.
Man, have a good night.
All right. Good night, guys.
Good night.
Later.
Later.